Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. And this is a Sunday morning brunch, right? But it's the afternoon, but I'm still going to keep the theme. So the Super Bowl is amongst the sports city. I got a full kitchen. And not just people that are in front of the eyes of the stove getting ready to put these dishes together, but I got a full kitchen of a whole bunch of dishes to put out. And I'm talking about NBA. I'm talking about, of course, the NFL with this Super Bowl. Oh, yes, I got some NCAA basketball on the brain. I'm going right there first and foremost. But I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timer is alive.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Oh, Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing I got, one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the brunch with Lark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody. Don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Lark, the Moses, and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts. That's a fact, yeah.
The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. Thank you for everybody that's vibing out with us. Long delay, personal situations going on in my life. I'll get that out of the way first and foremost. I want to start off with this show because I got a lot, like I said, in front of me, and I know that these guys have brought dishes themselves. So let's get into it. Calling out of the Virginia region. Well, they're both in the Virginia region of the United States. I'll start with him first. Aaron Simmons, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, man, it's such a pleasure and a privilege to be back in the building. You know what I'm saying? We took a long time off, man, but it's good to be back. You know what I'm saying? My man, you know, to the left of me, 5 minutes down the damn road, man. TB, what's going on, dog?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Just trying to recover, brother. Just trying to recover. And last but not least, in the same section of the Virginia region of the United States, Tommy B. Welcome to the Sunday brunch Super Bowl edition.
What's up, fellas? I'm glad to be back. I had a lot going on in personal life, too. But you know what? TB, and that's not for that sorry-ass Tom Brady either. I'm back. That's some controversial shit that came out. I'm telling you, I'm going to turn the kitchen on flames.
Okay. First and foremost, I got a very interesting controversial subject that I want to start the show off with, and then we'll start to dive into everything else that's going on in the kitchen. Now, Sports City. This is like a surprise dish because I'm coming out of left field with this one, no pun intended, and I'm not talking baseball right now, but I am talking basketball, and it's college basketball. Now, in which the circumstances kind of differ because it's a different sport, but you tell me, right, that if a team goes undefeated in college football, but they're in a weaker conference across the board, they don't get the same recognition like another team in a stronger conference is that may have losses or what have you across the board. Now, in college basketball, the number one ranked basketball team in the nation is Gonzaga. They are undefeated right now. They sit on top of the landscape right now. What is the difference between what they present compared to the other teams that may be in tougher conferences or play tougher competition along the way? Now, you have the likes of Kansas who sits behind them. I'm sorry, John Calipari, I feel some type of way. Kentucky is falling off of a cliff. Not just falling, they're falling off of a cliff. People aren't taking note of what Kentucky has done right now or what they have going on, but it's interesting to watch that Gonzaga can end up running the table, and end up still being number one at the end of the season. I want to see how you guys feel about that before we get started into this heavy show of Sunday Morning Brunch Football Edition with the Super Bowl in front of us. I will start with you first, Aaron, and then we'll move this one around.
You know, man, here's the deal. You know, I understand, you know, where people are coming from with, you know, the non-conference and strength of schedule. At the end of the day, you play who's put in front of you. You know what I'm saying? And your win-loss schedule versus those men that are put in front of you is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Now, we all sat there and we looked at it. You know, they got, you know, their only toughest opponent coming up is on the 11th, which is this weekend or next week, against, looks like St. Mary's, and they're 18th ranked at the moment. They're expected to win out, you know, with the only hiccup coming there. So let's say, for all intents and purposes, they only have one loss as they get ready to go into their their tournament, so to speak. I'm not really buying the simple fact that they shouldn't, be a number one team going into the tournament. I'm not buying the fact, you know, because, again, they've taken all comers. And let's keep it 100. They've looked dominant in almost every performance. This isn't like football where, you know, you can skate by, you know, with a field goal and style points and this, that, and the third. Gonzaga right now is literally eliminating all that by beating teams by 10, 15 plus. Like the game they had yesterday, they beat these Bammers 90-55. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they are blowing teams out of the water. They're 12th in the nation with points per game at almost 85 points. They're number one, timeless, in rebounding. These Bammers are averaging almost 40 boards a game. You know what I'm saying? Dropping almost 17 dimes a game, and they're ninth in the conference in points allowed at 61.7. That's defense. They're grabbing the board. So if you want to say, well, they didn't pass the eye test, what are you looking at? You know what I'm saying? They're beating these teams that are in front of them to death. You know, so I don't want to hear that, you know, that they're not conference, this, that, and the third. They're the number one team in the nation behind them. You know, we can have the argument, should Baylor be a number two? What's going on with Kentucky and Kansas and, you know, Maryland and all this other type of nonsense? But Gonzaga is deserving of everything that they've gotten so far, and unless something crazy happens, I expect them to be the number one overall team as we start getting into March Madness.
Right, and I'm not even arguing with what you're saying. I'm saying what difference between the two sports. Because this is the Sports City Chef. This is the kitchen. We cooking up sports, and I want to see the difference between how they rate football compared to basketball. Now, looking at this schedule, they beat Florida, and this is why I say Florida. Well, Kentucky's falling off a cliff, because Florida just beat the brakes off of Kentucky. So do we look at Gonzaga in a different light, because Gonzaga is playing up to par to what they have? They also beat Iowa State as well, and they also beat a very tough Arizona team as well. They also beat Washington too. Washington actually plays well as well. They had a good game up against UCLA. They also beat Tennessee. So they have some teams within their schedule that they have played. But in which you look at a team like Baylor, who is playing in the Big 12, they have some good conference play going on down there. And you also got Kansas, who's also in the Big 12 as well, who sit behind them. And these guys go at it regardless of how this is painted. And looking at Gonzaga, outside of those teams that I mentioned, you got St. Mary's, you got Portland, you got Pepperdine. BYU can be a player if, you know, if they had Jimmer around, or the kid Davis, or, you know, things of that nature. But the teams that they play are held in the same light the way that people were looking at a team like Washington Huskies this year, and how they were just clamming for them to lose a game. Or last year when the Iowa Hawkeyes, in which I was told by Tommy and Chandler, don't believe it until you see them play a tough team. They ended up playing a tough team in Michigan State and falling off later in that season. But still, yet they played the games that were in front of them. So how is it held in a different light? If they're running the table, give them their credit. This is the same situation that Gonzaga is painting the picture. They have a flaw going on. If the committees have different committees, basketball, football-wise, these guys need to have a meeting of the mind and make this work out. This is just me. This is something that's made my skin crawl a little bit, because it's just not right. If they're running the table, regardless, it doesn't matter what conference they're in, give them their credit. Tommy, your thoughts on this situation, and then we'll get into everything else we need to for the Super Bowl brunch.
Have me be the one to cause controversy. Of course, that's my, you might as well just have my nickname, Controversy. Just go ahead. Tom, there's a difference. One, Gonzaga has proven year in, year out, year in, they can play with the big boys. They proved it this year. These teams that you are talking about in football have what? They're around 1 year, 2 years, just like this year in football. On the tailgate show, all you talked about, Western Michigan, Western Michigan, Western Michigan. I said, Todd, they played one of the big boys, they're going to get beat. They did. They played Wisconsin. Look what happened. It's different. You get these teams that 1 or 2, maybe 2 years, they come around. Football is different than what this basketball. Gonzaga has proven year in, year out, those going to at least make it to the Sweet 16 or further. This Gonzaga team, if they keep playing like they are, and it was something that Jay Billis says that may scare me with this Gonzaga team this year. They have torched everybody this year. What happens if they get into this tournament in March and they get a close game? It's going to happen. Are they going to panic? Because I really see this Gonzaga team. It's hard to say because you don't know how the bracket's going to break out. I can really see this Gonzaga team lead 8, if not the Final Four. It's hard to say until the bracket comes out. But this team's legit. I do not really see a hole this year in them. Except what happens if they get that close game in everything? Are they going to panic? Because they haven't been in one yet, really.
And more than likely, they will be a team out of the West. If they continue this, they have what? They have 5 more games left until they run into conference tournament play, and then the big dance comes around, in which, just like Siri said, I think St. Mary's is probably their biggest game. I don't want to, look over Loyola or, hell, any of them. I can't overlook anybody because it's on their schedule. San Francisco, Pacific, San Diego could be a problem as well. And, of course, they end the season at home up against BYU, which BYU and Gonzaga is always the matchup for the past, I want to say, 7 to 10 years, especially when they had Jimmer and, company and guys like Sabonis on their team. Like, these guys are going back and forth and seeing if Mark Few could put together a good product to attempt to get to a, Elite Eight or better. And he's always been a fixture within the tournament play. I respect Mark Few, but I'm not even holding it against Gonzaga. I'm not holding this against Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga is a good team. I'm holding this against the committee. Looking at how these other teams are being held in Washington, and I'm not even just talking about Western Michigan. I'm talking about a team like the Washington Huskies. Like Western Michigan continued to run the table, but they were being put at 22nd, 21st. I think I was like 15. Like, they can't at least get a top 10. And Wisconsin was sitting there, and they played Wisconsin. They may have lost to Wisconsin, but still, yeah, they can't get a top 10. They can't even crack it.
They didn't deserve in the top 10, Todd.
I didn't interrupt you. Please let me finish. You may say they didn't deserve a top 10, but they handled the team that were in front of them on their schedule. Who in the conference where Gonzaga plays is a threat? Honestly, St. Mary's is the only one, and I don't think that they could challenge too many teams in a top 25 right now.
St. Mary's got torched already by Gonzaga. What was it, 40, 30?
Right. They lost by 20, actually, in that game where they met up 79-56, and this was in Gonzaga. But nevertheless, if you look at this conference, what is the difference compared to a Pac-12 team being mentioned in the same light? Like, Pac-12 teams won't get the same mention like the team that I'm hanging on right now, just to use for reference as a Washington Husky. You know what I'm saying? They didn't lose until they got to USC, which was the latter part of the season, fell, and then it was like, oh, well, they're on the outside looking at. you know, until some things started to work out for them, and then they ended up falling short in the playoff anyway. But they had to have some things fall and work for them at the end of the day. But it's different, the bigger bracket, so on and so forth. But the there's flaws. There's flaws. I want them to get this fixed. Okay, there's one more topic before I dive into everything that they want to talk about. I know Tommy had another topic that he wanted to get to, so I'm going to get to these quickly. Last night, this is an interesting one. I can't let this sit by the wayside. I can't. The Sacramento Kings, people, knocked off the Golden State Warriors, in which Steve Kerr got ejected, but that's not the lone point. It was him debating a call and him getting kicked out and him actually saying he was forcing the issue to get kicked out. Now, is this the situation where you can play a physical breed of basketball and get a perfect scoring will out of your whole team, and this could be a recipe? I'm not going to say the recipe, but it can be a recipe to knock off the Warriors, in which they had low scoring totals from everybody else, and in which Steph had a layup at the rim to win the game and missed the layup. I did want to talk about this because I just seen it last night. I want to hear your thoughts on this one, Tommy. The Kings, if you ever seen the Kings of Comedy, the Kings beat the Warriors last night. Very interesting matchup in the Western Conference.
Jesus. Not really shocked, really. I mean, didn't they already beat them once or come close to beating them? Something.
They came close.
I mean, I'm not really shocked, really. Seriously. I mean, look at what – but look what Atlanta did to Houston. They came back and beat them by down 20 in the fourth. There's an old saying that my basketball coach used to say, you live by the three, you're going to eventually die by the three. Well, ooh, They died. This team is so three-point happy. They're learning. They're still learning how to gel. I'm sorry. Everybody kept saying this team was Auden's favorite to win the championship. I didn't believe it. There's already reports that I've seen rifts between Green and KD and them arguing, fighting about this. KD's doing this and KD's shooting the ball this way. He's taking shots from Green or Steph, unless Sacramento, maybe Houston, but after what I watched Friday night or Thursday night, I don't even know about Houston now. Could do it, but they'll probably be in the finals against Cleveland. That's what the NBA wants, so that's what the NBA eventually gets. But I'm not really shocked about it at all.
By the way, the league scoring total that I was talking about last night, Kevin Durant, and we know he doesn't take too many shots, 2 for 10, 10 points, 6 free throws. To me, this is probably the lowest scoring total I've seen Kevin Durant ever had, unless he got injured. I can't even think of that happening. In which I don't know if he's trying to appease what you're saying about maybe being the riff with him and Draymond. Draymond ended up having a 15 shot night. He had 16 points. He ended up having more than KD. Also, so did Klay Thompson. But Klay had a 25 shot night as well. Everybody basically had their basic input, but still, this is a King team without Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay tore his Achilles. Rudy Gay is done for the season. They got beat with Aflalo, Collison, Kufis, McLemore, and Cousins. They are not invisible. They can be beaten. So I think if it's more or less a situation where they play that physical breed of basketball, get under their skin, the one that really came to play was Steph. Steph put up a damn near 40-point night up against Collison. I don't even find it fair talking about Collison defending Steph, but in which – there was a play at the end of the game where Steph had that layup. DeMarcus, I'm pissed at your defensive IQ. He basically gave Steph the lane. He's lucky Steph missed a layup. at the end of the game. Sirius, your thoughts on this one, and then we'll get into everything cracking for Super Bowl Sunday.
Wow, you know what I'm saying? I'll be honest with you, gentlemen. I'm not the type of guy who, you know, is going to really feed into, you know, this person beefing with that person, this person beefing with the other person. You know, I honestly believe that the Sacramento Kings, or the Queens, if you listen to how, you know, Shaq back in the day, you know, they really went out there and took the fight to them. You know, I mean, the thing is with teams like, you know, Golden State and Cleveland, you know, you really have, you know, if you're Steve Kerr, if you're Tyronn Lue, you really got to fight to keep these guys engaged and motivated. And honestly, you know, when you're at the mountaintop, so to speak, you know, you're going to get team's best. And, you know, if you have an off night, you know, anybody can get beat. I will say this, you know, as a Rockets fan, and I sat here in my living room and watched, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. go off on Thursday in that fourth quarter and, you know, erase a 20-point lead and come back to beat us. You know, again, you live by the three, you die by the three. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a mindset. It really is a mindset. And I'm not going to, you know, really start to, you know, say that Golden State's in trouble or just starting the third. You know, they got caught on a bad night. I mean, how often do you see KD go 2-for-10? How often do you see, you know, Steph miss, you know, a layup at point-blank range? You know, I mean, just a
did
lot
you,
of stuff
did you
went
see,
right.
Did you see the layup? Did you see
yeah,
the layup?
Yeah, I saw the layup. I saw the layup.
Okay,
that's
okay.
The thing. It was, I mean, how often do you see that from Steph?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, hats off to the Kings for fighting and battling. They stayed with it. You know, there were times in that game when, you know, it got turned, you know, it got tight, you know, crazy. Golden State made their run as they normally do, you know, even after, you know, Steve Kerr getting ejected, you know, in the second and the third. So, at the end of the day, I, you know, mark it up to, you know, Sacramento playing a good game, Golden State, you know, not playing the best, and we'll move forward. I mean, at the end of the day, they're still the top of the Western Conference. And, you know, everything's going to really have to go to them, you know, and there's only literally a handful of teams that can seriously beat them or give them a game. So it's interesting. And Bailey said hi.
Yeah, tell Bailey I'm letting the dogs out. I'm not playing around. I'm letting the dogs out. Now, here goes an interesting situation, right? The Warriors are 43-8 as of February 5th, 2017, right? That means that they can only let me do this the right way. Sports City, I may be being a little harsh. People may be feeling I may be being rude, but the Warriors have to win every game right now to have a better season than what they did last year. If not, they lose one more game. It's, you know, I don't want to say a lesser, but they're not doing as well as they did last year, and they have a better component with KD on the floor. And just like Tommy said, they're trying to gel, but they are coming out here and beating teams like the Los Angeles Clippers by like 50, you know, so I don't know how you beat the Clippers by 50, who, to me, I think is a way stronger team than the Sacramento Kings, and then go into Sacramento and lose this one, interesting enough. I just wanted to get this one out there because, of course, it's the Warriors, and just like Sirius said, it's the Warriors and the Cavaliers and a little bit of the Rockets, and I do have a thing about the Rockets. The Rockets are playing good ball right now, but there was something that happened in the
Wizards.
The Wizards, too. The Wizards are a story, too. And we can dig into all of this, you know. And look, I'm a basketball guy, too.
I'm going to say it now.
Wait a minute. Can I finish, please? Okay, let me hurry up and get this out of the way. It was a play that happened in the Rockets-Bulls game in which James Harden, jumps on Michael Carter Williams' back and gets the foul call. He jumped on his back and got the call. Talk about superstar treatment. Okay, Tommy, I'll let you speak on John Wall, and we'll get into the atmosphere that we're all ready for today.
I mean, what else does this man have to do to get respect? He is pretty – him? John Wall's got to be at least mentioned, at least right now, for MVP. Has to. The dude is killing it in D.C. right now. Yes, he's got help. Bradley Beal's healthy. The bench is playing well. But with, I'm telling you that you take John Wall off the floor, that team's completely different. Completely different. He looks like he's bringing it every game. Now I say this. Coming in, I think, what is it? Tomorrow? We've got Cleveland. So I don't want to say too much, and then who knows what will happen. But right now, John Wall's playing some ball. He has got to be mentioned at least first half MVP.
That is a very interesting discussion, and all three of us sitting here right in the kitchen have an arguable stance or debatable stance of the team that we support. I know Therese will talk about James, and I will talk about the Roadrunner. Therese, do you want to get into that discussion or speak on your behalf, or we can get moving?
You know, honestly, man, it's kind of interesting. You know, no disrespect to, you know, John Wall, who's been balling out of his mind. And again, I mean, if he, you know, started getting some notoriety about MVP, you know, it definitely warrants it for what he's been able to do. Another cat who has been balling out of his mind, and again, is really about to be showcased here in about an hour. You know, Isaiah Thomas of Boston Celtics, Kawhi Leonard. Again, I mean, these are guys who are literally just having MVP type seasons, but because of the stupidity of the other two gentlemen, I don't know, you know, how far that's going to get taken. But I mean, good God, I mean, to Tommy's point, John Wall is definitely balling, definitely deserving of an MVP MVP nod, and won't surprise me. If come into the season, you know, if he continues on this trajectory, is, you know, get some type of vote, to get some type of notoriety.
Who was the guy were you talking about in an hour or so?
Isaiah Thomas.
Okay. So you only have Isaiah, you have James, you have John and Kawhi, right? And that's all you have?
Exactly. The other guy, I mentioned another guy.
Oh, who's the other guy?
I don't know his name.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Let me help you out, Sirius. His name's Russell Westbrook.
Okay. It's Sunday. That's the bad part. The People Sports City, this guy has just gotten out of church, and he's telling tales. I won't even use the harsh word of what he's really doing in Sports City. But now, I know there's some things I want to get into the NFL. I won't just say straight into the Super Bowl, because I know that there was a topic that Tommy wanted to hit on, and I'm going to let him get these dishes out before we get into the big game this evening. So, Tommy, spark us up for some pigskin.
All right. The Hall of Fame was announced. We all know who made it. I'm not going through the whole list. You can find it. There is one player in my book that had two good seasons, maybe three of them. Two? No, he had more than two. I'd say three, four good seasons. And I say the only reason he even made the Hall of Fame is because he's working on the NFL Network right now, and that's Kurt Warner. You look at what he had when he played in St. Louis. Look at the receivers he had. Look at the running back he had. Defense wasn't bad. He goes to New York. He stinks it up. He gets benched for Eli Manning. He goes to Arizona. He had Larry Fitzgerald. He had Anquan Boldin for a year or two, a couple of years. Running back wasn't bad. Defense, decent. Went to the Super Bowl. Should have won it, but there was stupid interception of James Harrison, and we all know what else happened. Am I the only one that thinks he really shouldn't be in the NFL, in the Hall of Fame? Like, seriously. I don't see where he was a Hall of Famer to his whole career.
Serious? This is what I call food for thought. He's not lying. This is a very good cooked dish. Do you agree, disagree? How do you feel about this Kurt Warner situation? In which, poor thing, I'm going to spice this up, because I know we don't have too much time, because we got an hour left, right? In which, Sports City, I'm tagging along right with Tommy Beard. How the hell, yeah, that's right, I'm throwing the curse word out. If you call hell a curse word, I'm going to throw it out there. How in the hell, and I'm not a big fan of T.O., but you keep snubbing T.O. and you put Kurt Warner in the Hall of Fame before T.O.? Wait. T.O. is a top five, if not three. I say four and three. I put him in three because I got my bias. Of course, I got Rice and Moss. Poor Blake, I'm being biased. So I can say three or four, however you want to manage it, because you already put Marvin Harrison in there before him. So if you want to give Marvin the edge, I don't think Marvin's a better receiver than T.O., but people will argue that. So that's a debatable situation. You're snubbing T.O. back-to-back years. Like, this guy has not done it. But you put Kurt Warner in there. And I don't even know if I could hang my hat on them being a part of the NFL Network, which it could be that. Tommy could be 100% right on that. But I'm not sold on them giving Kurt Warner the leg up over T.O. He does not deserve it to me. But, serious, your thoughts on what Tommy brings up? This is a dish that is very tasty right now.
You know, honestly, it's kind of interesting when you start to look at Kurt Warner over the course of his career. You know, I'm not going to, you know, throw shade at a man for reaching the pinnacle of his profession, you know, achieving a ring and getting to the Hall of Fame. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what all the men play this game, you know, aspire to do and aspire to become. However, if you're going to put Kurt Warner in there and leave T.O. out, if you're going to put Morton Anderson in the Hall of Fame and leave T.O. out. I mean, if you're going to put owners like Jerry flipping Jones, ladies and gentlemen, let that marinate for a minute. Jerry Jones is a Hall of Famer. Really? Really, though? So, I mean, this whole Hall of Fame class, you know, is going to have a lot of cats scratching their heads, which leads us to believe and leads us to wonder, what in the world are they doing next year? You know, you got people like Ray Lewis on the docket. You got, you know, Randy Moss on the docket. You got Urlacher on the docket. You got some significant, you know, ball players on the docket. And, you know, if fate were to repeat itself, which one of these guys who we all thought would be first ballot Hall of Famers is going to be left off to atone for the foolishness that was allowed this past year? No disrespect to the class going in, because I do believe that, you know, they are worthy of Hall of Fame consideration. You know, when you look at the likes of LaDainian Tomlinson, who, you know, had 1,000 yards for 8.5, almost 9 consecutive years, you know, never reached the pinnacle of winning the Super Bowl. You look at cats like Jason Taylor, you know, who, again, you know, is a guy who has done it and done it the right way. You know, I not throwing shade at any of those men, but T.O. is left off. Jason Garrett is in before others. And then you got a bomb squad of a cast. You know, Alan Faneca, another cat who, you know, again, I'm going to throw my bias out there for a minute, but this cat was a beast on the offensive line, and yet he, you know, gets snubbed once again. So who, it kind of makes you look ahead. Who are they going to leave off next year? Who should be in? makes you wonder.
I'm gonna say this. It's serious to talk about bias, and you're damn right. I'm a diehard Lions fan. I love my Lions, but I grew up around watching greatness. Like players that are great, I love them. I love Barry Sanders. That's why I'm stuck in Detroit. And seeing Minnesota twice a year, I'm not going to lie, we couldn't do anything to defend Randy Moss. Anything. Listen, people were like, something happened with him and Mike Tyson when Tyson let him go to Oakland and this and the third. I was one of the happiest people to see Randy go to the Oakland Raiders because I was like, we do not have to deal with that dude no more. And then you know what happened the next season when he was in Oakland? Detroit had to play the Raiders. It's Oakland. I'm like, Jesus. And he still scored, but we won the game. So I felt good about that. But I'm going to tell you this. If they do that to Moss next year, I'm already planning to try to go to see him in Canton, regardless of how this goes down. Regardless of how they go down, I'm trying to go see him get inducted. Or Ray. If they do this to Ray or Randy, because I'm a Kane fan, so I'm a diehard Kane fan. If they do it to anyone of these two, I'm going to Canton. I need to talk to Goodell or somebody in the committee or all of the guys that are wearing gold coats already that feel some type of way about these two not getting. I feel some type of way. But there's smoke here. Kurt Warner may have an inside. They may feel some type of way because his wife was battling cancer. All I can see is the heavy passing yards that he put up while he was in St. Louis in that one magical season that he helped get the Cardinals to the Super Bowl. That's about it. That's about it. Now, if this warrants him getting into the Hall before T.O., let's do it like this. I've always been challenged here at Sports City. I'm going to take you through a little bit of Sports City history. Sirius could attest to this. I've always been challenged by a fellow chef that was here for a portion of time here, and James Mr. Controversy Greenwood. And he stated that Donovan McNabb would not get to the Hall of Fame. I was like, you're crazy? Donovan will get to the Hall of Fame. Kurt Warner's numbers are not better than Donovan. Kurt Warner is in the Hall of Fame. He's inducted. So just think about that. Just think about that. It's an interesting dish that Tommy brought to the kitchen. I like that. But just like I said, if it goes down like that, if any of my boys are missing next year, I'm going to be straight in Canton talking crap. I will be. Okay,
If Ray gets to go in, you might as well not even do a show because I'm going to rant for about 40 minutes just on that. Because I'm going to go off if Ray don't get first ballot. And the T.O. thing, it's hard for some reason. It's not just him. I would not be shocked if Randy doesn't make it in next year. I'm serious. And it's not because of his numbers. It's not – for some reason, look how long it took Andre Reed to get in. Like, literally. It's harder for wide receivers.
But still, yeah, okay, but it can be harder for wide receivers, right? I hear you. But looking at the stats and what T.O. did on the field, a lot of receivers that are in the Hall of Fame now, they can't even touch what T.O. did on either team, whether it was San Fran, his two-year run in Philly, that 1 year with Buffalo, even when he was in Cincinnati, he was at the end of his run and was doing work in Cincinnati. Like, was taking the shine away from Chad Johnson, people. People have to think about that. He was with Chad and was taking the light off of Chad. Like, come on now. Come on. I just don't get it. Like this committee, they are so off balance. It's not funny. Okay, Pierce, anything else that you'd like to say toward it before we get away from it?
Nah, man, let's keep it moving.
Okay, any topic that you guys would like to discuss, Pierce? I don't know if you brought a dish that you would like to get into, or Tommy, if there's another one that you'd like to get into, because this is a big pot. I don't even want to say a dish. This is a pot that I can just keep scooping out of and just ladling in the bowl if you want to. But if you want to get something out here, please let me know so we can get this one rocking before we get into the heavy work of this Super Bowl in front of us.
You know what? Let me say something about something right fast. You know what I'm saying? We haven't been on in a minute, and there's been a lot of stuff going on NBA-wise, you know, with Melo to move the hair, you know. So my question honestly is this. What in the world is going on in New York? We got Derrick Rose dipping out, taking care of family things. We got fans yesterday booing Melo, him giving them the finger, telling them to shut up. Different trade scenarios. Will he end up in Cleveland? Will he end up in L.A. messing around with the Clippers? We could talk about the Clippers for a minute, too. You know, how far are they going to fall off with CP3 being hurt? An emotional game tonight with, you know, Paul Pierce, you know, going back to the Garden. I mean, there's so much going on right now, man. Holla at your boy.
Okay. First and foremost, I live in the middle of this, and I say it like I'm some spoiled sport fan because I live in Connecticut. They consider Connecticut up, you know, the New England area, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, that's New England. And then they consider Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, the tri-state area. So I'm here for all of this madness. Now, living here and knowing what's going on, especially with Carmelo Anthony, you don't know how many Knicks fans I run into that say, get rid of Carmelo right now. It's Carmelo's fault, this, that, and the third. I'm going to keep it real. I think he's probably the biggest personality on that team. At one point, I felt like it'd be foolish for them to let him go. But watching the last couple of games with Carmelo playing with them, him nor the fans are comfortable with each other. I've you know, grown up in the era around Michael Jordan and everybody. I have never seen a city get after their star the way that New York is getting after them. I think the only one that's probably on Carmelo's side is Spike Lee. Everybody in the Garden is coming after Carmelo. You know what? Whoever it may be, whether it's Phil Jackson, that we could call responsible for this, and sitting up here and watching this guy's career waste away, let him go before the trade deadline. Let him go. Find a team to get rid of him. But now, don't send him to Cleveland and make it a LeBron, Carmelo, Kyrie, Kevin Love. They're trying to make the Kevin Love move. I don't think that's the smart move to have Kevin Love come to New York. But, however, to keep making these mega teams, they're going to water down the NBA crazy. But it all depends on where he may end up going. But get him out of New York. And there was a statement that was said last night by Derrick Rose. He said, if they're going to rebuild, then rebuilding is me leaving too. So both of them do not want to be in New York. There's smoke here, people. There is smoke here. And I don't know if it's Hornacek. They're not comfortable with Def Hornacek running the show. I felt a certain way about this before the season started. This is interesting now that these guys are under 500. At one point, they were the third-ranked team in the East about a month ago. They are out of the playoff picture right now, racing for eight. Tommy, your thoughts on this one with Carmelo? I don't know if I can say the outside looking in, inside looking out. Your thoughts on what's going on in New York?
I'm glad Sirius brought this up because I was going to bring it to the kitchen, if not. Me and you, Todd, we talked off air about this. I told you we had to do a show. I was tired. I had to get this off my chest. I am so sick and tired. What has this been? The third year now? Because we heard it last year. And a former chef said there's nothing to this. I am so sick and tired of hearing about Melo being traded. Fans sick and tired of Melo. Melo this, Melo that. Then they turn around and hear the trades of where Cleveland wants to trade for him. Then you hear Cleveland don't want nothing to do with him. I'm sick of the whole everything with Melo talk in the NBA. New York, do what you want with him. So I don't have to hear it. And then 2 years, what is it? Next season, I'll have to hear whoever gets him, well, they're trying to trade for him. It's ridiculous. I mean, is this dude so hard to play with? I mean, is he really this hard to play with? I mean, you heard that in Denver when he was in Denver. He was hard. Nobody wanted him. Carl George put a book out saying that Carmelo was so hard. I mean, is this dude so hard to play with as a teammate? Like, really? That nobody wants you, really? Until they want you until you get there? And then you're ready to ship your ass out? I mean, come on. Something's got to change then. I mean, something would have to click in your head. You know what? Maybe it's me. Unless he's just after the money. I mean, most of them are. A lot of them anymore don't play for the love of the game like they used to when we were kids. A lot of them play it for the money. Kind of can't doubt. I mean, with the way the – but really? I'm very interested to see what happens this year. Really am. Just trade him so I don't have to listen to it the rest of this season. So I can actually enjoy it where I don't have to hear it. I'll go through it next year then.
$122 million investment. All down the drain, man. I'm not going to lie. Carmelo, I like your offensive game, but you take away from yourself when you cross half court, take three steps, and just jack a three up. It's like, wait, you guys know that you guys are fighting to get back in the game. You guys know that you guys are fighting to get back into the Eastern Conference playoff picture, if you look at it that way. You guys are not in there. Matter of fact, Carmelo, you are, what, going to be 32 this year? 33 is in that range? 32, 33? And you know the youth is behind you with Porzingis. Like, they're trying to transition you out of the door. And you still are like, well, this is still my team. And they're losing with you doing this. The last time that this worked out with you jacking up shots like this, probably was Denver. I mean, yeah, the Knicks made the playoffs with you there. But as soon as you got there, you got bumped. You got bumped. The last time I seen this strong situation work for you is when you were in the mountains. He has to go. Get him out of New York so this could stop being him against the world. Just like it was said, he was going against the crowd in the Garden, like up against LeBron. You know, everybody and their mother is in the Garden when LeBron come out here. When LeBron come out here, everybody's trying to get there to see him play. And this is not working in his favor. They made a comeback, and to get in the game, they were down by 20-plus points, made a comeback to get in the game. Carmelo gets in the game while they're close. I think they cut it to like 9 or 8 or 7. 9, 8, or 7, Carmelo starts shooting threes from deep. And listen, and it was like they fought this far back for you to start messing this thing up. I don't know, man. I feel real bad because we're watching. I don't even know whether to call him a legend or great. I don't want to take too much away from Carmelo. I don't want to sit up and say, oh, he's a good player. I don't want to undersell him. But I can. Like I feel like I can say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to give him big boy status, but he just don't. I don't know if it's his basketball IQ or what. Like, you resulted in just shooting threes where you're a bull on the block. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, a bull on the block is if he's by the paint, he is a problem. And he will not go down there and bust tail. Like, he won't. Like, it bothers me. That's how he came into the league, playing on the block, and he got spoiled to me. Y'all could probably see it different. Anything else before we get away from the Carmelo issue?
Let me throw some hot sauce in this dish. Or some buffalo sauce, however you want, whatever you want. Which team would he fit on right now?
I need him right now. I'm not even going to lie.
You put him in OKC. You've heard reports coming out that nobody really wants to play with Russ. Are you really going to put them two egos together? That could blow up in your face, Ty. Literally.
It's better than Andre Roberson. And with Enes Kanter out, do you know how much more of a scoring load that Russell is going to have to carry while Kanter is out until mid-March, maybe the end of March? Like, this is really going to be the Russell show. This, in fact, even if Carmelo don't go there and the Thunder stay where they are and get better, then hands down, the Russell gets the MVP. Hands down. If Russell has to carry this load by himself, they're not bringing him any help, and he's doing this with Andre Roberson people. I am a diehard Thunder fan. I try not to announce my fanhood, and y'all know me, but I don't do this. If you guys see Andre Roberson play basketball, you will understand where the heck I'm coming from with this statement. He's not a starter in the NBA, but he started for the past 3-4 years in the NBA for the Thunder. Just think about that. And he's playing the three now. He doesn't match up against any threes in the league. Matter of fact, Gordon Hayward gave him like 30-something. And Gordon Hayward is an all-star too, but just saying, he can't even mess with the bottom feeders of the small forward position, let alone the top, with LeBron and Carmelo and KD. And they, no, get him out of there. So if they can, I think it could work. And this would definitely force Carmelo to get on the block too, because Carmelo can't sit out there swimming while Oladipo and Russ sit at the top of the key. All three of them can't be out there. They can't. So, but they're saying that, just like you said, Cleveland, the Clippers, I think there's one more team that they said that is an intriguing landing spot for Carmelo at the end of the day.
I think I've heard Boston.
Yeah, but I think Boston shut the door on that, because they got a good unit right now, especially with Crowder. I feel like that'd be a slap in Crowder's face the way that he's been balling. Serious, anything else in front of this Carmelo debacle before we get away from it?
So, you know, kind of to follow up, you know, kind of get a final, you know, yes or no situation, you know, trade deadlines in a couple of weeks, you know, is Melo shooting up for another team? And also kind of the thoughts of Tabasco sauce, like my man T-Bird, I just said a minute ago, give me somebody else, you know what I'm saying, who has been talked about making a move. I heard something about, you know, obviously the whole Cleveland wanting a backup point guard, you know, but the cats they're looking at are about as old as dirt and coming off injuries, talking about, you know, Mario Chalmers, you talking about Jordan Farmer, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of Melo, you know what I'm saying, play GM right fast, who goes where?
You're telling me to play GM and who goes
where?
Play
GM. Yeah. Play GM right fast. Outside of Melo, you know, who goes where?
Outside of Melo, okay, so any player in the league?
Yeah.
Wow. In Sports City, I'm being not even being selfish for me to come to OKC. I just want to see him leave his team right now. But here we go, Sports City. I'll start one right now. DeMarcus Cousins. As much as I said I was mad about his defensive prowess, and he almost let Steph win the game right there, they are going to watch a legendary player. I'm already giving him this status. Waste away in Sacramento, and the one talk that they said that they're intrigued by getting rid of him and going somewhere is to none other than the Phoenix Suns. What the heck is he going to do? Is Phoenix a Western Conference final team? Even if he goes there, what are you doing to him? You guys are going to waste his talent. Like he's really one of the players that I think can be moved, should be moved, and it probably won't happen to the franchise. Down there, or that's a down there, over there in Sacramento. That's one name that I could throw out there right now off the top of my head. Michael Jordan made a very interesting move, getting rid of Spencer Hawes and Roy Hibbert, also moving them. Because to me, watching both of them play with the Hornets, they did not fit while Kemba was playing his tail off carrying this Hornets team. That's another player that I wanted to throw in there too. But Kemba, you've been doing your work. A lot of people are overlooking you. Shout out to Connecticut. I don't know, Tommy, do you want to play GM and get at the same situation that he's talking about?
I hate to do it, but I've seen it for the last years. Everything looks so good here in D.C. Our ownership, our GM will screw this up. I'm not saying who we'll get rid of. Gortat, maybe, or Morris. I don't know. I'm waiting for something stupid to happen where the DC curse hits. I'm waiting. But I don't know. I'm with you, Tom, with the whole Cousins. Now, if we can get the Cousins to bring him here in DC, I'll be happy. I've said that for years, Ty, you know that. You can get the whole Kentucky reunion with Cousins in Wall. I'd be happy. As long as we don't fall apart, because I think now we're fourth, not far from the three seed. We may even be three now. But I don't know. Maybe I really don't know. I mean, could you see the Clippers doing something with Blake Griffin to get something out? Because he's a free agent this year after this season.
Could you see him maybe
trading to get pieces back for him?
I think they hang on to Blake to see how far they can go with him. And knowing that he's been in and out of the lineup, I think that they're trying to see a healthy Blake and see if they can make a good run at the Western Conference and try and win this thing, especially for Chris Paul. Because I'm going to be honest, Sports City, if they don't get it this year, this is Chris Paul's last hurrah. I mean, he'll be playing in the league. Of course, he has flash in the pan. He can make a lot of plays. He can hit shots. He's one of those cats that play the passing lane and can get those steals. But this is truly to me of making it happen with that organization. They're going to have to move him, especially if Blake leaves. If Blake leaves, there's no point for Chris to sit there. There's no point. And also, Ibaka, go back to Oklahoma City. Go because you do not need to listen. If you watch Ibaka in the Orlando Magic play, he looks lost. He was lost. He had one game of 20. That was his high. Oh no, he had his high against the Thunder too. It was a little over 20. But Ibaka is already there and not comfortable in Orlando. Is another name I could throw out there. Serious, if you have any name that you like to throw out there, you can.
Wow, I'm gonna be honest with you. I hear everything about Ibaka. Everything attached with him. Again, you hit the nail on the head with Michael Jordan moving, the pieces that he had to move, to try to make his ball club better. Again, I live in the metro, so I honestly understand and I kind of enjoy, to be honest with you, watching DMV teams fall on their face time and time again. It makes for great sports talk radio out here. But at the end of the day, there are teams that are on the fringe of playoff push, including my own team. But, for the sake of argument, I'm going to leave the Rockets off the books right now. What does Indiana do? You know what I'm saying? What do the Pacers do? I'm just throwing questions out there. What do the Pacers do? What does the New York Knicks do? I mean, we beat that to death with the whole Melo situation. But what do the Knicks do? Because I do think they're a player or two away from being somewhat relevant in the weak Eastern Conference. Do the top teams, make a move here or there to bolster a bench? Does Cleveland kind of stay pat? And not make a move? Does Golden State lay in the cut also? What the hell does Popovich do out there in San Antonio? Is he content with what he has now? I mean, this is a team that is balling, and I think we forgot that Pau Gasol is on the roster. I mean, San Antonio is balling right now, and Pau Gasol has been hurt the better part of a month and a half. What does that team that, Tyrone Power roots for do? Canner is going to be gone until March, he said. So do they go out there and make a move? I'm just throwing questions out there.
Right.
These are things that I'm thinking as a casual basketball fan, And so if I'm thinking about it, if we're thinking about it, I'm pretty sure that GMs, are sitting in their office right now, with phone in the ear, trying to, work the wire and see what type of moves can be made. Houston, what the heck do we do? Are we content, with Capella and Nene playing the five? Are we content, with having, Beverly run the one and having Gordon come in and, having, Harden, dominate the ball? I mean, are we content? Are we going to do anything that resembles any type of defense? Are we going to work on suicides? Do we even know what a defensive stance looks like? So, there's a lot of questions right now.
He's not lying. He's not lying. Not,
you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of questions right now that, you know, if you're Mr. Maury, you know, that you have to answer. There's a lot of questions right now, you know, if you're Mr. Unseld and the GM, you know, of the Washington Wizards, that you have to answer. Yes, John Wall is balling. Yes, Bradley Beal is balling. You have some great chemistry. I mean, you waited for Otto Porter to emerge into the starter, into the, you know, guy that he's emerged to. You waited for Kelly Oubre to do what he's doing. Jason Smith coming off the bench doing work for the Wizards. What type of nonsense are you going to do to mess that up, as Tommy Beard alluded to? Or are you going to lay back and be content with being the 3 seed and having a shot at contending for, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals? Because, again, I'm going to say this now. As this team is constructed, they really have a legitimate shot at going to an Eastern Conference Final, barring injury.
Yep. Thank you for putting that in there.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, before you keep going, I need to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who's the starting small forward for the Wizards?
That's that dude, Otto Porter.
You know where he went to school?
Some wax school down here in D.C.
Yeah, that team that chokes in March.
That team right there.
Wait, I just want y'all to mention it. Can anybody give me a name?
I mean, that
aren't
team.
They,
that,
don't they do, play that puppy dog team, that little puppy dog team in D.C.?
I think so.
Somebody please give me a name. That's all I ask. I don't need these. I need a name, okay?
I don't know. I don't know the team name.
I'm lying.
I can't imagine.
What's
it in
Washington, D.C.? Isn't it called George Washington?
Mason.
Oh, that George Mason team.
That George Mason squad. There you go.
Sports City, lying fresh out of church. He said another. What was the post that he put up, fresh out of church, Sports City? I was reading the post that he put up. I was reading something that Sirius had got from church today, and this is what he comes to the kitchen with, lying on a Sunday fresh out of church.
I don't know about that.
Pineapples. No, how about that? Sports City, we got 30 minutes left, man, and these boys have been cooking. Sports City, I apologize with everything that's been going on with a lot of us in our lives right now, but I can tell that I told you, we got a lot of food to cook, and I at least got like 27 minutes and 26 and counting on just the Super Bowl right here. I'm trying, and then I got to get our picks to see who we like for the big game today. Okay, so
I got one NBA question. We were talking trades and going around and this and that. What the hell is Mark Cuban thinking in Dallas? The last time I checked, they were the last team in the West. Do they trade Nowinski? Does he say, you know what, I want out?
Hell no. Listen. Dirk is going to retire a Maverick. I don't care how people like it or not. I think that'll obviously be disrespectful if they got rid of Dirk. And even if Dirk has been injured and off of the roster here and there, I think Dirk deserves to retire as a Maverick. Their only championship win is because of him. Like, I know. He's a mainstay. To me, people may feel different, and he could still knock down that jumper. You still got to be a 7-footer. 23 feet from the rim. Like, that's a problem. That, to me, I don't know. Serious, your thoughts, and plus they just got the kid, Yogi Ferrell, on a 10-day contract, and he was eating Portland up the other day, too. I don't know if people saw that game, but he had a 9-for-11 three-point night. 9-for-11. Listen, they can wake up. I don't know if they can get back into the picture. It would be interesting, but Dallas, if anybody, D. Williams sitting on that bench chilling, that's what they need to look at. But here's your thoughts before we get away from it. Did we lose Sirius? Sirius, are you still there?
My fault, dude. I had to take care of the situation. My bad. I apologize. I didn't hear the question.
No, and the question of what Tommy just hit on. Did you hear the question?
No, I did not.
I said, what does Dallas do? Do they get, with them being so far down in the Western Conference, does Dirk get traded? Do they try to get Dirk help and try to get back into it? Like, literally, we know how Mark Cuban hates to lose.
Right.
That he hates it. What do they do? Like, seriously. But that's a train wreck down there right now.
I mean, it is. I mean, I honestly, with the Mavericks, you know, I think the changing of the guard, you know, it is there, you know, with Harrison Barnes coming over from Golden State. He's playing exceptional basketball. And so I don't know if you trade Dirk. I mean, Dirk was on his last hurrah anyway. So at the end of the day, you know, I also saw something about D. Will being possibly moved as well. So we'll see what happens with Dirk, but I think Dirk stays put.
And we can move on after this. We've all got to remember the whole Carmelo thing. He has a no trade clause, so he has to sign off on the trade.
He has no choice. He should sign off. Don't sit there and waste yourself away. At least compete. At least compete. Oh, my God. I don't know. The call number is 917-889-9592. Sports City, I'm getting into the Super Bowl whether they like it or not, okay? We have the visiting New England Patriots up against the home team Atlanta Falcons. Everything on the line. It is down there in the dirty the Texas area, Houston. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm not going to lie, Sports City. I'm not going to be mad at either team, whoever wins. If New England wins or Atlanta wins, I'm not mad. I'm actually happy for both teams if they get it done. Things that we need to look at, defense, offense, special teams. I want to see how you guys feel about all three facets of the game. Where would you guys like to start first? Sirius, I'll come to you first. Where would you like to start?
You know, man, this is going to be a crazy game. You know, honestly, I think I'll be remiss if I didn't start defensively, you know, because honestly, I think that's where this game is going to be won and lost, you know, which team is able defensively to impose their will and honestly dictate tempo, dictate line of scrimmage, point of aggression. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I honestly believe that Atlanta defense has been really underrated. I think that they have significant ball players on that side of the football that has literally carried them to where they're at now. You look at what they did in the NFC Championship game against Aaron Rodgers, and you know, a squad that has literally went to work, you know, since A-Rod told them to relax, and they just rattled off, you know, successful victories. I think it was 8-9 straight or whatever the case may be. You know, that offense was prolific, and they really put the clamps on them. You know, one of the things that Atlanta does well is blitz packaging and things of that nature. So the thing is, for me, is really going to be seeing how the chess match, you know, when we start dealing with, you know, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, one of the things that you hear a lot is a chess match. You know, the game plan offensively for the Patriots is never really the same week in and week out. We've seen them, you know, put, you know, an extra tight end in the game and play smash mouth. We've seen them, you know, go 4 and 5 wide and spread you guys and spread people out and, you know, take, you know, 8-9 yards in a cloud of dust. You know, so the ultimate chess match is going to be for Atlanta's defense is really making sure they are able to dictate what the Patriots do offensively. On the flip side, if you're the Patriots defense, you know, you really have to play ultra aggressive, in my opinion. You really can't sit back in a zone. You know, when you're playing this Falcons team, They hit you with so many different punches in so many different ways. It's quite interesting to see how offensively the Falcons move around and move the ball. So defensively, you're really going to have to, you know, play aggressive. You know, you can say let somebody else other than Julio Jones beat you, and you can do that and still get blown out. Let's keep it 100. I mean, you can still do that, and Devontae Freeman gets loose. You can still do that, and Mohamed Sanu can go off and do work. You still do that, and the third and fourth options really go off. So it's going to be interesting for me defensively, who really has their way and is able to dictate tempo and to dictate style of play in this ball game. I think the winner of that matchup wins this ball game.
Tommy, your thoughts on the three phases of the game: defense, offense, special teams.
I'm rarely interested. I'll start offensively with Atlanta. With the way this offense has played, I mean, looks unstoppable with the two running backs that I think is a mismatch. I mean, literally. You can literally spread them out in the slot, wide out, and they're going to put a corner or a linebacker against them, because you can't put a corner against them, because then you've got a linebacker up against one of those wide slot receivers. So, I mean, I'm really interested to see what Belichick could come up with against the stop-ass offense in Atlanta, because this could be one of the best offenses they've seen. New England has seen defensive offense all year, really. I mean, I actually thought Pittsburgh was, and don't even get me started on that. I have no clue how much they paid. The NFL paid Le'Veon Bell to come down with this injury that nobody's heard all week. Brown to drop footballs, act like he didn't know how to run a route or anything like that. I'm just saying. I'm speaking myself. And can Atlanta's defense get that pressure? That's the key. If you can get that pressure on Tom Brady and get him off at spots, I mean, how do they block Beaston? I mean, the dude's a beast. Be no joke. I mean, so it's going to be good. I think this game, it'll come down to the fourth. Special teams could possibly play a difference. I doubt it. I really don't think special teams. I think it, like Sirius says, it comes down to defensively.
Okay. First and foremost, let me do this the right way. Shout out to Matt Ryan, a.k.a. Matty Ice, for getting the 2016-2017 NFL MVP. Great season for what they've been able to do up until this point, where he's been able to carry this team. Well, I guess I get to say hand-in-hand, him and Julio, but the quarterback gets the ball to him, so I'm going to give Matty Ice the leg up in the situation. He won the award. Very interesting. Defensively, knowing Belichick is the defensive guy on his side of the ball, he has probably wrecked his hair and everything, just scrambling on what he's got to do to slow this offense down. I think this is his biggest job ever, to try and contain not only Freeman, but he also has to worry about Tevin also out of that backfield too. This guy is a quick monster out of that backfield, and if Matty has to get him the ball, he's a game changer also. Sanu Jr. has also been a problem in the receiving corps, as well as Gabriel, to complement everything that Julio brings to the table. So it's not like they can risk double teaming often. Like they're going to have to do that with Julio, because if you leave him one-on-one, Julio's going to have a monster day. So I'm waiting to see what Belichick does defensively. Now, the Coach Quinn, within this same situation, people, just 3 years ago, if you guys don't remember, it was a game where the New England Patriots won their previous Super Bowl up against the Seattle Seahawks, in which Quinn was the defensive coordinator for the Seahawks. So he knows what to do to try and limit or take things away from Tom Brady. There's no Gronkowski, so this makes it a little bit easier for Quinn in this situation. Offensively, just like I mentioned, I'll start with the New England Patriots. The secondary of the Atlanta Falcons are going to have to slow down all three of the receivers, whether it's Amendola, Hogan, and Edelman, because these guys are able to make plays. I don't understand how Brady is making players that you wouldn't figure have a big name in the NFL probably be the biggest names in the NFL at this point in time right now, Chris Hogan, Danny Amendola, and Edelman, Julian Edelman, let me say his full name. All three of these guys, in which two of these guys are 5'9", people. Two of these guys are 5'9", and still make a difference in this type of offense. So, and knowing that, I don't want to say questionable, but you have to watch Atlanta's secondary because their front seven is what the, you know, what's been helping them. Getting sacks with Vic Beasley Jr., putting pressure on the quarterback, things of that nature. If they could get to Brady, this could spell to an interesting game like how Brady lost to the Giants previously where they were able to just send the front four and get Brady to the ground. It'd be interesting to see that happen. Now, this is the – I think to me, this is my dish, people. I think this is where the game is won and lost. If Atlanta's offense can't be stopped, I find it hard for the Patriots to win this Super Bowl if they can't be stopped. If the Patriots could limit Julio Jones and Freeman, this could be a very interesting Super Bowl. Regardless, people, I think this is going to be an excellent Super Bowl. That's why I said I don't care if either team wins. I really respect both of them on where they got one with the Patriots and Brady missing the first four, getting back here, only losing one game, knowing that it would be crazy. And people may think this is not a storyline, but at least to me, I think this is a storyline. If the Patriots win, Goodell having to hand him and Belichick that trophy, that is the face I would love to see. That is why I'm like, I really hope Atlanta does win. I really hope Atlanta does win. Because if not, I'm going to be glued to the screen. I'm not going to move. I want to see what Goodell looks like. I really want to see his face if that does happen. Now, Atlanta, the last time they've been here was 98, in which that season I was kind of bitter because I wanted to see Moss do it. They knocked off the Vikings, got there up against Denver, lost to the Denver Broncos, and that was Elway's last game. I think that Atlanta needs a lift other than the Braves. I think the last championship that they have was the Atlanta Braves in that city, if I'm not mistaken. I think it is the Braves. So the Hawks, the Falcons, the Thrashers, like they don't have championship things running through that city. So I think with them, with their slogan Rise Up, it would be big. I got an uncle down there that, you know, is a fan of the Falcons too, so I would be happy for him. I got a friend of mine that's real close to me, like a brother. He's a Falcon fan too up here in Connecticut also. It'd be interesting to see it. So that's why, I can't even say, I like one team or the other more. So it's very interesting. But another facet of where this game could be won is field position in the special team game. If one of these teams punts and knowing that the return game may favor Atlanta, I think Atlanta may have the favor in the return game. It could spell differently. But this could be interesting to see how the punt game plays a part in this and seeing who gets better field position, things of that nature, who can return the ball better than 10 to 15, 20 yards and help their team at least get in field goal range of that nature. But especially with the way that these offenses shoot, you don't want to get caught in a field goal game. I think touchdowns are going to win this game for sure. They can't afford to see three, and that's on both sides of the ball. Brady can't afford to be kicking field goals, and Matty Ice, that's all they've been living on is scoring touchdowns. So I don't think they'll be having too many field goals going up either. This is an excellent Super Bowl. Excellent. I don't think it'll be nothing less. The over-under is set at 59. That means that there's going to be scoring, and it's at 3. The spread is at 3, so this is going to be tight. Okay.
You know what I want to see? I don't want to see, but in a way I want to see. I'm pretty much giving away who I've got winning. You said Roger Goodell giving the trophy, right? What if he does it and he sends someone else up there to give it to him?
Now, that would be foul. Now, that would be absolutely foul. Listen, if Goodell's sitting in Houston right now and the Patriots won and he didn't give them the trophy, I wouldn't respect Roger Goodell no more. I wouldn't respect him no more. That'd be it. That would be the last straw drawn for Roger Goodell. For me, that's just personal. Here's your thought. If he did send, like, somebody that was a part of the NFL committee to give the Patriots the trophy.
You know, I mean, it's not like he's a well-liked guy anyway. I'm pretty sure, you know, he's not on too many people's Christmas card list. So that there would just be the final straw, you know, against him. But, you know, I do like a storyline. I do like the craziness you know, what else could be talked about, you know, this offseason than, you know, Roger Goodell not being there to, you know, choosing not to give the trophy to the Patriots. It'd be kind of crazy.
I seriously see something funny happen. If this game is closed and it looks like Atlanta could lose, you heard it here. Something funny will happen. I'm telling you, I do not think Roger Goodell wants to give that trophy to them. There will be a crazy call, a crazy something, a crazy missed call, something. I really think so. I do not think he wants to give that trophy to them.
Okay, so the moment of truth is here, Sports City. We are a little bit outside of 5 minutes. And I want to give us some room so we can talk about it. Who do we like? Do we like the Patriots of New England, or do we like the Falcons, a.k.a. the Dirty Birds of Atlanta? I will throw this one around the kitchen and get their input on this game. Oh, my goodness. I've been nervous. I'm not even going to lie to it. I'm going to tell you the truth. Everybody's been asking me, who do you like, Ty? Nobody has gotten an answer. Nobody, not even my mom. Not even my mom. So, you know, she's getting every answer out of me. She didn't even get an answer either. So nobody, you guys are getting the dispersal from me. Let's throw this one around the kitchen, see how it goes. I don't even know which one of y'all I want to go to first. I already know which way Sirius is going to go. So, Sirius, your thoughts on the game. Who do you like and why?
You know, honestly, I really have not hit my, you know, my vote. I haven't been shy about voicing it. And I'm not going to even lie. My hatred for this team is serious. Like, I'm not going to even lie. Like, it's not enough that I hate the Patriots, I hate the Patriots, but these bammers cost me 3 different times I could be playing in the Super Bowl. 3 different times. You know what I'm saying? Nah, forget the Patriots. Their fans are stupid. The team's stupid. Tom Brady's stupid. Anybody who likes the Patriots is stupid. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to swear if I'm fresh out of church. But again, y'all know me. Forget the Patriots. Forget the Patriots. Forget the Patriots. With that being said, I think Atlanta should win this ballgame. You know what I'm saying? I really think Atlanta should win this ballgame. It's their time. I do believe in things like due theory and things like that. Like, they're due. This is a team, this is a city that's due. And, you know, I said this a couple weeks ago when it was talking about the AFC Championship. You know, I really wanted to go through New England to get there, just to give the FU and a bunch of other swear words to a bunch of Patriots fans. Unfortunately, I've been eating a lot of it. So this is my second shot. Let's go, Falcons. Let's go, Falcons. Let's go, Falcons.
He said Brady is stupid. If Brady's stupid, then we got to be remedial. Like, who? Okay.
Like, short bus remedial, deep to be tall of me.
Yeah, me? Oh, good God almighty. Okay, Tommy B, who do you like? Do you like the Falcons or do you like the Patriots?
Really? I'm in the same boat. There's only one other team besides Pittsburgh I hate more. I hate the quarterback. I hate the organization. I hate the cheating head coach. I hate everything about that city, that state, that everything. Give me the Falcons by 14.
And a blowout. Their offense can do it. Their offense can do it. You know what? I'm going to do this my humble way, Sports City. And I haven't really gave anybody the real pick, but I'm going to go with the panel and clean sweep. I think Atlanta wins. Go with the points. I think Vegas is doing something fishy with this three. It's something fishy. How is the Patriots favored and they don't have Gronk? Like, I don't get it. With an offense that powerful, like Atlanta's offense is that powerful and the Patriots are giving them three, I'm going with the Falcons. Something's up. A lot of people will take that three. I'm going with the points that are being given. But I'm going to say this right here in Sports City. I'm going to say this. If the Patriots win this doggone Super Bowl, I will be right here ready for any of y'all that want to talk about it. Brady will be the greatest football player ever, ever, ever. People can say what they want. Listen, Brady's been in the league for 16 years. He's been to the Super Bowl 7 times. That means half of his career, he's been in the damn Super Bowl. That is absurd. That is absurd. Find somebody. I'm waiting. Y'all better hope the Patriots don't win this game. Look, Atlanta, do your thing. I'm not hating. Believe me, I like Julio a lot. I like Julio a lot. As much as I don't like Florida State because I'm a diehard Hurricane fan, I like Freeman. Freeman was supposed to be a Hurricane. I'm mad that Uncle Luke couldn't get him to go to the U, but he ended up going to Florida State because he's from Miami. But I do respect him. And watching Quinn leave Seattle and get another team that he's been a part of to be a part of a Super Bowl, that's crazy in itself for Quinn to get this done. But like I said, I'm going with the panel. I'm going to go with Atlanta. But if Brady gets this done, it won't be safe being around time because I'm going to tell you that much. Okay. I need plugs and closeouts from the both of you. Sears, I'll start with you first. You already know what to do around this time.
Yo, man, it's your boy Sears repping that 412-703. Once again, it's such a pleasure to be back in the building with you guys, man. Hopefully we can get this pop and do a little bit more often. Yo, pray for your boy, man. I'm about to kill my dog, Chicken Thick Pizza. So if you hear Tommy, if you hear any shots flying out from this area, don't be alarmed. I'm just me shooting my dog. Anyways, all jokes aside, man, it's your boy Sears, man. Get at us, man. We're on the Facebook and Twitter, man, doing big things, man. Your boy Sears is gone.
Okay, Sports City, this is what happened to Sears, right? This is what happened. I'm going to let you
man,
in.
I was going to say something about that, too, and he had to.
I got it. Because this is why we're in the kitchen, right? And this is why we talk about food for thought. Y'all do the dishes, right? Sears up here trying to get Big Boy while we doing the show. He trying to eat, right? And I said, I let the dog out, right? The dog heard me. Feel me? I said it's for a city. He turned his back on the pizza. He turned back around. The dog ate the pizza on him. Talk about keeping your eyes on the prize in the kitchen. The dog hollered at me. Hollered at me. I hope that's Jeff's dog, too. I hope it's that. Straight up and down. I hope that's Jeff's dog. Because that would really be the eating
of the city. I was gone for 5 minutes. It took this chick 5 minutes to eat a whole medium pizza.
Sports City. Listen. That's what I call like all of the jokes that he talked about. Russ, like instant karma. I love that dog already. I love the dog. If the dog's name is Russell, I'm all set.
Her name is Bailey.
Okay. Bailey. Close. Let me stop. That's funny. Man, when I seen them put that up, I started cracking up, Sports City. Do you hear me? Had to press mute. Okay, Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote, and we shut it down here at the brunch.
I don't know. I was gonna mess with Sirius, the whole dog situation. He had to ruin it and everything. Good to be back in the kitchen. Hopefully we can do this more often if everything goes. I know Ty's going through some stuff. I'm going through some stuff. Mine's pretty much dealt with, I hope. Good to hear from Sirius again. Hey, you know where I'm at, boy. Come see me. Hopefully we can get in here tomorrow. Tomorrow night. I don't know. Me and Todd's got to figure out my Wizards of a big game with Cleveland. Hey, it's good to be back in the kitchen with my brothers. Let's go, Atlanta. I really don't want to be pissed off tonight.
That's bad. Tommy B and Tommy B. Hey, I got two Tommy B's. One in the kitchen, one in this area, New England area. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Like Tommy said, you know what? I got to do a Super Bowl Monday night sport wrap-up. I got to. Holy light. Get back here, Sports City, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard in the Monday evening. Hopefully everything's going right here in the kitchen, especially with your chefs. They got their aprons on and giving you that good old food for thought. Hopefully y'all are doing these dishes. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Lark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Lark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and